Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. The first Bible passage is going to be from the book of Hebrews, which is found later on in the New Testament, past the Thessalonians and the Timothys and Titus and Philemon. Then you have Hebrews, and we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11, looking at verses 5 and 6. And then last week, I know we were jumping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. We will jump back and forth once, but not nearly like last week. But we are going to go again to the book of Genesis. So turn also to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at a few verses there, verses 21 through 24. So two scripture passages again this morning, the book of Hebrews and also the book of Genesis, and you see those passages there on the screen. Just as a quick reminder, we, this summer here at Westview, we are journeying through what we're calling the hallowed hallways of Hebrews 11, which is sometimes called the Bible's Hall of Faith. And in Hebrews 11, we see one testimony after another, the witness of the ancients, it tells us, of those who have gone before and have exemplified faith. And so each week we're looking at their stories, we're looking at their testimonies, we're looking at their lives, their examples of faith, and those examples are an encouragement to us and maybe even a challenge to us in our own lives of faith. And so each week we're looking at these passages and these heroes of the faith. And then what we're also doing here at Westview is we're inviting others of us here at Westview to come and share with us who is someone who has impacted our own faith, or who is someone whose faith we look up to, who would be inducted into our own hall of faith. And so we're hearing from one another as well during these worship services. And I'm excited to jump into this passage with us this morning. We have another opportunity to learn and grow and study and be encouraged. And so I'm going to invite us to pray together this morning, and then we'll read our Hebrews passage. So would you please pray with me? God, again, we are grateful for this time, for these few moments where we get to study Scripture together, where we get to listen to Your Spirit speaking to us. We get to open our hearts and our minds to whatever it has that we want, that You want us to know and be filled with today. God, You have been faithful in doing that time and time again, and we don't take that for granted. And so each day, each Sunday, we come and we pray, Holy Spirit, be at work again. Open the words of Scripture to us. Open our hearts and our minds that we might receive. And today, as we think about, again, a witness of faith, may it be a source of encouragement, an example, a challenge to us as well. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love, Hebrews 11, starting in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. So just be honest with me this morning. Before reading those two verses, had you ever heard of Enoch before? Have you heard of Enoch? You've heard of him? Maybe if we have not heard of him before, that's okay. What we're going to find is it's not a most prevalent name in Scripture. Or maybe the name Enoch has been something that, that kind of rings a bell. But he's not at the forefront of our minds. He's not on our radar. And maybe we look at Enoch and we say, last week we talked about Abel, and yeah, maybe we know a little bit about Abel, Cain and Abel, but Enoch is not a name that just rolls off our tongues when we think about the Hall of Faith. That there's other names that we're going to approach over the course of the summer, like Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses. And when we think about a Hall of Faith, we think about those great Old Testament heroes of the faith, and we're like, Enoch, who's he? And why is he here? I tell you what, all week long, not the VBS songs, which they get embedded in the brain as well, but there's been another song that has been going through my head. It's that old Sesame Street song. Do you remember it? One of these things is not like the other. Who's Enoch? Well, he's certainly someone who is not here anymore. I mean, if Hebrews 11, verse 5, makes one thing clear, it's this. Enoch was taken away. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 5 with me again. Listen to it again. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Do you get the sense here that the writer of Hebrews has a point of emphasis that he wants us to know? He was taken away. God had taken him away before he was taken. What does this mean? Well, the Greek word there is a great Greek word. You better believe I'm going to have you say this one. The word is, let me get it straight here, metatithemi. Yeah, I think that's right. Metatithemi. Let's try that one together. You ready? Metatithemi. I don't think I really heard you try that time. Let's metatithemi. Are you ready? Metatithemi. Hey, there you go. Let's do it one more time. Metatithemi. Very good. Very good. Metatithemi means to transfer. It means to transplant. It means to transport. What it means is that one moment you are here right now, and in the next moment you are here minus the quick walking in between. And so all of you Star Trek fans out here, now is the time for you to say, beam me up, Scotty, right? Beam me up, Scotty, right? That's sort of this idea here. But if in a non-sci-fi sort of sense, this is what happens to Enoch. In one moment, he is walking on the face of the earth. And as one foot lifts up off of the earth, that lands in the glories of heaven. Metatithemi. To transport, to transplant, to transfer. It's not death. Hebrews 11, verse 5 is very clear. He did not experience death. He was taken away. Here now, and then gone. And I could be wrong on this, but I can only think of one other person in all of Scripture who also did not experience death. The prophet Elijah. We maybe remember his story where he too is walking along with his apprentice, Elisha, the next prophet, and he's taken up. Elijah's taken up in a chariot of horses and fire. He's taken away. And some of us might say, wait, what about Jesus? He too was, you know, he ascended, he was alive. Well, Jesus died first, rose again, and then he ascended. See, Elijah and Enoch never died. So what does this mean? And why is this important? Why does the writer of Hebrews continue to pound that message into our brains? Well, look at the end of verse 5 with me. This is the third time it says that Enoch was taken away. It says, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch's faith witness is that he is one who pleased God. Friends, that is an incredible acknowledgement. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, for someone that we might not know at all before a few moments ago, for someone that we might not know very well at all, this is a defining testimony of his life, that he is someone who pleases God. I tell you, friends, I only humbly hope and dream that such a testimony could be true of me. In fact, I would love for all of us, if that would be all of our humble ambition, that when we live this life, we too are commended as those who live lives that please God. Verse 6 tells us what this looks like. Look at verse 6 with me. Having faith, believing God exists, and earnestly seeking after Him. It's not just about believing, but also seeking, about being diligent and searching after God, searching after who He is and His will, His love, His heart, His plan, His peace, His rest. Westview, regardless of what we did know or did not know about Enoch just a few moments ago, I hope that our hearts are already being captured by his witness. That he is one who lived a life that pleased God. And there's more. What I'd love for you to do with me is turn to our Genesis 5 passage now. I promised you not a lot of flipping back and forth today. I think this is it. But we're going to look at this Genesis 5 passage. Because Enoch is commended here in Hebrews as one who pleased God. Well, what did that look like? What comprised his life that led to him being one who was commended as pleasing God? Before we read this passage, I want to just share with you this morning, I find the witness of Enoch powerful. I find it an encouragement, and I also find his witness an incredible challenge. And I hope you do as well. Genesis 5, starting in verse 21, says this, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away." I think there's a pretty reasonable explanation why we don't know much about Enoch. Because besides one or two other mentions in Scripture, this is it. Four measly verses in a genealogy, no less. There's not much to work with here. But friends, we don't need much. And so what do we know about Enoch? What do these verses tell us about Enoch? Well, I think the first thing it tells us is that Enoch is a dad. He's a father. Look at verse 21 with me. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Verse 22 at the beginning, after he became the father of Methuselah. Look at the end of verse 22, and had other sons and daughters. Enoch is a dad. This fact, this truth comprises nearly half of the words of this entire short passage. And I can't tell you how much I love that this passage lands on Father's Day. If you've been around me long enough, you've been here long enough, you know that I really don't do a ton with what I call Hallmark holidays. Like, they're not holy days, right? It's not Christmas. It's not Easter. I mean, we'll maybe acknowledge even Valentine's Day, maybe. But we'll acknowledge Mother's Day, right? And we'll celebrate moms and all the women in our lives. And just like today, dads, we celebrate dads and all the men in our lives. We do that. And that's pretty much about it that I'm going to do. But today is going to be different. Today we find that Enoch's witness is that he is a dad. And friends, I hope that everything we talk about for the rest of our time together will be a word for all the dads out there. and moms and all of us. I trust we all will be blessed by the Word today. But there's going to be times we're going to talk especially to dads. Current dads, grandpas, future dads, men who have lives, precious lives, whether it be a spouse or a girlfriend or whether it be children or others who are looking up to you. Enoch's witness of faith is especially for us this morning. Because we find that he's a dad. He's a father. And that is a title that comes with enormous responsibility. To be a dad, to be a father, is to be a man who loves and honors and serves his spouse. Not even kids first, it's about the spouse. To be a man who exhibits to his children, how do you talk to, how do you look at, how do you care for, how do you respect that special woman in your life? To be a man who takes serious their role in guiding their family in the way of Jesus Christ, to train up their children in the way that they should go, to be a man who loves their wife in a way in which she is holy and blameless, being washed through the water of the Word of God, to be a man who sets a godly example in their family of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This title of dad, this title of father, it bears great responsibility that ought never to be taken lightly. And I want to urge us men, be more than a title. Be more than a title. Live into the calling of what it means to be a father. And that requires of us to be present. It requires of us to be physically present. To be there. There's so many distractions in our lives that pull us away from home, that pull us away from our kids. Work being number one, but there's also all of the activities we love to do, whether it's sports or golf or hanging out or whatever it might be. There's a lot of things that pull us away, but to be a dad, to be a father, is to be present, to be physically present. And not just physically present, but to be emotionally present. You know, not just there, zoned out, or thinking about work, or thinking about everything else, or being on our phone, but to be emotionally present to the needs of our family. To be a dad is this all-encompassing life that encompasses all of our life. It requires courage, it requires passion, it requires pride, it requires those things. And anything less than that, we're not fulfilling our roles as fathers. We don't know much about Enoch, but we know that he was a dad. And he was a good one at that. He was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch is a good dad because it says here that he walked with God. That's a point in this short passage that's also emphasized more than once. It's mentioned twice. Look at verse 22. Enoch walked with God 300 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God. Go ahead and look at every other genealogy in Genesis 5. Look at every other person there. It all says that they lived this many years. They lived. Enoch is the only one who it says he walked with God. In fact, he is the first person in all of Scripture that it says he walked with God. The Hebrew word for walk is the very common basic Hebrew word halak. But here it has a little bit of a nuance to it that helps us understand what this walk looked like. In fact, some of your Bibles, my Bible doesn't have this, but maybe your Bible does. Does it say he walked faithfully? That's another way of translating it. He walked faithfully. That gets to that nuance. Because the word here for halak and the nuance it has doesn't mean it's just a walk in a straight line. That we walk from point A to point B. But the word here for halak means that he went to and fro. Literally, he walked back and forth. Back and forth. That's what the word halak here means of how he walked back and forth. And so he's not just heading in a straight direction, but Enoch is walking with God back and forth. Back and forth. Enoch is walking back and forth in the presence of God. He's walking back and forth as he is communing with God, back and forth as he is delighting in God, back and forth as he is desiring God, back and forth as he is seeking after God. Hebrews 11:6 says he not only believed, but you seek after God. Enoch has belief because he's seeking after him, that in his walking, Enoch is seeking more and more of God. He's walking back and forth in the presence of God because he wants to know God more. He wants to experience God more. He wants to be in relationship with God more. He wants to be near to the heart of God. And so Enoch is walking back and forth in God's presence. Now put those two things together. Enoch walks back and forth in the presence of God. But he's not just anyone walking back and forth. Who is he? He's a dad. He's a dad who is walking back and forth in the presence of God. He's a dad, a father, who is modeling, who is setting an incredibly significant example for his family, his kids. He's demonstrating to them what it means to be a person of faith walking back and forth in the presence of God. He's showing those sons of his what it means to be a man of faith. What it means to be a man of God. He's showing those daughters of his what to look for in a future spouse of a man who's going to be walking back and forth in the presence of God. Enoch is a dad demonstrating faith to his children. And on this Father's Day, dads and grandpas and uncles and all the important men, we celebrate you. We celebrate you, but also let me speak to all of us who have the hearts and lives of those dear to us watching our example. Is the example of Enoch the kind of dad that we're living? The kind of man that we are, that we're walking back and forth in the presence of God, that as men, as husbands, as fathers, as brothers in Christ, are we setting a God-honoring, Jesus-seeking, Spirit-obeying, faith example to those who look up to us? This is the faith witness of Enoch. He's a dad who walked with God. And then he was taken away. The end of verse 24 tells us the exact same thing that Hebrews 11 told us three times over. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. I want to show some numbers to you. We'll put them here on the screen. Let me just read through these numbers. They're 930, 912, 905, 910, 895, 962, 365, 969, 777. Look at those numbers. Let me ask you, which one does not belong? Again, one of these things is not like the other, right? Which one does not belong? 365. Do you know what these numbers represent? Yeah, these numbers, if you go through Genesis 5 in the genealogy, this is the final age of everyone who is listed in Genesis 5, including Enoch, which is 365. Enoch sticks out, does it not? I put a little joke in here for my Vikings friends, right? Enoch sticks out like a purple-wearing Vikings fan walking Main Street, Green Bay. Yeah? It sticks out, doesn't it? So what do you make of this? We've noted many times Enoch was taken away, very clearly, Hebrews 11, here in Genesis. But what we did not say is not only is Enoch taken away, but he was taken away so early in life. Now today, obviously, 365, that's unheard of, right? That's impossible. I think I just heard on the radio yesterday the oldest man on earth celebrated his 113th birthday. He's got a little ways to go to catch Enoch. But in comparison to everyone else in the genealogy of Genesis 5, Enoch's life is about 40% of the expected life, of their life expectancy. 40%. In the United States today, the average life expectancy is 78 years, 78.79, so about 79 years. You know what 40% of that is? 31 and a half. I've got that beat by 10 years already. 40% of his expected life, Enoch is a dad walking with God, and then at 40% of his expected life, he's taken away. Now, dads, fathers, I know that I've pushed on us a little bit already this morning, but I'm going to come back one more time. Because we know that Enoch is a dad. We know that Enoch walked with God, set an example for his children, for generations to come. And we know that with Enoch, that just only 40% of his expected life was lived, and then he was taken away. And so, dads, I say to us, you know, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for when it comes to setting a godly faith foundation for our kids? What are we waiting for in modeling to our children a life that pleases God, a life of faith, a life of belief, a life of seeking, a life of walking with God? What are we going to be waiting for when it comes to exemplifying a life that is devoted to being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Our time as a dad is short. There's no guarantee of a long life in which we can talk about that some other time. There's no promise that we can wait until, you know, wait, we'll just wait until we're all adults in the room and then they'll understand. There's no assurance that of another time, another opportunity, of even tomorrow. Enoch's a dad who's walking with God, and at less than half his age of life that he expected, he's taken away. And that's just talking about life, right? I mean, some of you guys in this room know something that I'm having a crash course in. That your time and your influence as a father goes so quick. Too quick. Those 18 years at home fly by, they're gone in an instant. Dads, are we making the most of our time? Because we cannot wait until they're 17. We're like, oh, they're leaving in a year. It's got to start day one, week one, month one, year one. There's no time to waste. You know, maybe we did not know a lot about Enoch before we stepped in the worship center this morning. But I trust that his faith witness is one that we will not forget. That he's a dad who walked with God all the days of his short life until he was taken away. And fathers and moms and all of us who have an opportunity to witness faith to those under our care, follow the footsteps of Enoch. A dad who walked with the Lord and by faith was commended as one who pleased God. May it be true of all of us. Amen. We had an opportunity this morning to receive the witness of the ancients and their faith. And also this morning we're blessed to have someone here from Westview that's going to share with us about someone in their own hall of faith. So Nick, would you please come and share with us this morning?
Thank you. Since it's Father's Day, it seems fitting that I would share about my dad with you. A couple of weeks ago when Josh kicked off this sermon series, he talked about the reasons why faith is important, and I thought I would share my dad's story with you through some of those reasons. The first one is faith receives God's gift of salvation. I believe that my dad has received God's salvation, and I know this because of his lack of fear of death. He tells me and my family all the time that he's not afraid of dying. He looks forward to seeing Jesus and seeing other family members that have gone before him. Faith leads us to worship. Anybody that knows my dad knows that worship is near and dear to his heart. He has served as song leader, choir director for his church. Years past, he also traveled around Iowa to different churches as part of a gospel trio singing. Faith perseveres through grief and trial. This is a big one for me. Since I've been an adult, there was about a 10-year span where I watched my dad lose both of his parents, his younger brother, and my mom. And he grieved all those, but he was always very optimistic about it, knowing that those individuals were in heaven and he would see them one day again. He often refers to my mom's passing as her early reward. She was 58 years old when she died, and she went to bed one night and woke up in heaven. So she never had experienced the afflictions that are often associated with aging, and my dad saw that as a reward for her. Faith leads us to joy. I talked about earlier about my dad not fearing death and looking forward to going to heaven, but it doesn't mean he's living a miserable life. He's full of life. He's very healthy for his age, and he talks all the time about the joy that he experiences in watching his grandchildren grow. And even oddly enough, he loves participating in me and my brother's businesses with us. In fact, he was just here this weekend helping us out at the shop over our busy Father's Day week. Peace. Faith claims the peace of our salvation. Since my mom's passing, my dad has started this kind of unique experience where he goes, once a year he goes to the Black Hills, South Dakota by himself, and he brings along a lot of Christian literature with himself, and he just spends a week just driving around the Black Hills, enjoying nature, spending a lot of time in the Bible and Christian literature, and I feel like that really gives him peace and contentment in his life and kind of rejuvenates him. Lastly, faith witnesses. Obviously, for all the reasons I've mentioned, my dad has been a great witness to myself, my family, and many others. But one thing really stood out to me, and that's his devotion time. And when he does his Bible reading. When I was younger, living at home, my dad used to do his devotions early in the morning. But now that he's retired, he does it in the evening. And although the time of day has changed, kind of his devotional time setup has not changed. There's a very vivid image of him doing his devotions, and that's him sitting in his recliner with his feet up, his coffee in his hand. He drinks coffee at night. I don't know how he does it. And then his Bible in his lap. And as I was preparing for this, I kind of reflected on that, and it caused a change recently in my life, one, to do my devotions more consistently. But the other thing is to actually use my Bible when I'm doing my devotions. I've gotten to the habit of just, you know, getting on my phone and looking up scripture on there, but it dawned on me that when I'm on my phone, my family doesn't know what I'm doing. For all they know, I could be checking the news or sports scores or something like that. And I wanted to be that same witness that my dad was for me, that when he was doing devotions, we knew it. He was sitting there with his Bible on his lap. And, you know, someday when my dad is gone, I'll still have that image of him sitting in his chair with his feet up, his coffee in his hand, and his Bible in his lap. So thank you for letting me share with you.
Thanks so much, Nick, for sharing. We appreciate that. Friends, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful again this morning for the witness of the ancients and for the witness in our own lives who have exemplified faith. Thanks for Nick and for his sharing about his dad and for all the things we just heard and the witness that he has had for Nick and for so many others. And so we're grateful and we bless you for that today, God. We're grateful, too, for the witness of Enoch and how his witness can be both an encouragement and a challenge for each of us in our own faith. And today on this Father's Day, we're thankful that we can know you, our Heavenly Father, your loving Heavenly Father, a loving Father who cares deeply for your children, a loving Father who provides and sustains us, a loving Father who corrects us when we're doing wrong and leads us in the right path. You're a loving Father who rescues us from the effects of sin by sending your own Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might find salvation in His name and that we can become co-heirs with Christ in your blessings. You are a loving Father, and we are ever so grateful. And today we do thank you this day for dads and grandpas and uncles and other men who we look up to in our lives, who lead us well, who model your love in our lives each day. We recognize that this is an incredible blessing. We also pray this morning for those for whom this day might be harder than others. We pray for those who wish to be dads but aren't. We pray for those whose earthly fathers didn't always mirror your same will and way. We pray for those who have lost their dads and miss them all the more on this day. We're thankful to you, our Heavenly Father, that however each of us experiences this day, that you are with us. Thank you too, God, for hearing our prayers this week as we prayed over VBS and we celebrate the wonderful week that it was for so many. We give you thanks as well this morning for Sarah and for the new opportunity you've prepared her for in serving here at Westview. And now we continue to pray for the other position and now a new position that is open as well. We pray that you would stir in the hearts of the right people at the right time to join our staff in ministry. We continue to pray for wisdom and guidance as a board as we navigate large conversations and seeking to follow Christ's will for this congregation. We lift up to you today, Lord, those who are sick and those who are hurting, those who are sad and those who are distressed. We pray that you would bring comfort and care and peace. We pray that for many who are on the roads this summer with vacations, we ask for safety. And God, we continue to pray for our communities, our neighborhoods, our nation, our world, asking that at the right moments and in the right way that you would intervene and that your will would always be done. We ask all of this and so much more in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.